It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Raheemy and Harris Show with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
Here's one to the end zone, and DJ Moore was open but overthrown, and that stops the clock at 2:26.
Boy, he just had his eyes in the wrong place. He was looking in the flat to Zacchaeus here, who goes here, but then he misses DJ Moore. Immediately, Williams is looking to Zacchaeus, and because he's looking to the flat, he doesn't see the corner sit on it. Otherwise, the ball comes up a lot quicker.
That was Troy Aikman, friend of the 670 The Score afternoon show, along with Joe Buck, also hanging out on the afternoon show every now and then on Monday Night Football. We are recapping a Bears 27-24 loss to the Vikings on Monday Night Football to start the season. This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And it started good for Caleb Williams. Goes 10 of 10. We saw his first drive where, again, the checkdowns were being run. You could tell he was getting through his read progressions. He was on the run. I think the Vikings deliberately tried to play faster, and then he responded by also being faster. You saw that up-tempo. Best thing you could do as a quarterback, especially after the Bears were so bad on first drives last year, go out there and not only move the chains, get some points, and then creme de la creme, get the touchdown. And he did all of that. Thanks in part also to not just the Bears running the ball with DeAndre Swift in that drive a bit, but Caleb Williams' legs as well. And I thought that was part of the good we saw out of the game yesterday. Mark, you were there. What was your impression of just that first drive that you were witnessing?
Oh, man, it was terrific. It was what everybody needed in that stadium, even those of us in the press box, because we have all been talking about what Ben Johnson is going to bring. We know it was a scripted play. Oftentimes, scripted plays can be very successful at the NFL level. But I'll just say, yeah, that was something that everybody needed to see. So it was terrific. It was like, okay, Caleb Williams is, you know, making quick decisions. He is being elusive. He's getting rid of the ball. He is feeling the pressure correctly. A lot of things that he did not do well last year. And you brought it up earlier, Marshall, just the fact that almost every single first drive last year was a straight-up dud. So it was just imperative that we saw it, and we saw it. So it was great. You know, 6 for 6. 10 for 10, as you said, and just it was crisp. The touchdown was on a third down play. He was converting third downs. Everything went right on that first drive.
And using his legs was important to keeping that drive moving in the way that it was. So my issue is understanding how they look at a first drive and understanding first 15 for most teams and understanding how scripted things can be and how much they work on those scripted plays leading up to a game. And to see it all fall apart after that in terms of what they're trying to establish, that is what is concerning about this. Was like, okay, I compare Caleb Williams, follow me on this, to that basketball player that looks outstanding, shooting from long range, doing exciting things. Bruce Bowen comes to mind. He's an over 40% three-point shooter.
He also plays really good defense and knew how to box out on somebody.
He does know how to do that, but when you talk about basketball, fundamentally speaking, a free throw is pretty fundamental. Bruce Bowen, for his career, even though he shot over 40% from three, shot 57.5% from the free throw line. Caleb is that guy who could do all the Steph Curry type stuff, right? From deep. But he's out here missing layups a lot.
Well, and unfortunately, what we saw was, once again, the sexy wow you play is Caleb Williams on the run. You know, it's the run to his right, throw the dart on the move to Roma Dunze,
who that was terrific.
Magically stays in bounds to help them extend that play, for example. Or it's when he's having to run because he's flushed out of the pocket, which unfortunately I think still happened too much yesterday, even though you saw help protection. Like, they brought in Theo Benedet a lot as help. They were running 12 personnel, two tight end sets. We even saw, I think, Yeah, it's like mixed protection when you bring in Benedet as an extra blocker. Cole Kmet, I think, sacrificed a lot blocking. I feel like he was involved on some intricate blocking schemes where, unfortunately, he was the block that helped retain the pocket. We still saw guys like Braxton Jones get pushed into Caleb a bit. Unfortunately, I think we still saw a lot of lack of sliding of protections or blitz pickup in the second half by CW when you just saw the how Brian Flores was bringing the blitzers. There was a lot of guys just shooting the gaps, even between what we thought was trusted, you know, between guard, center, and guard. I felt like that was happening a lot. Outside of that, though, when Caleb was on the move, that's when we saw him do his best work. That's nothing new. But if you know that you're not getting the accuracy in the pocket, and you said that game flow was going to dictate some of what you were doing, which is what we heard Ben Johnson say last week, why didn't you roll him out more? Why wasn't that a more of an option to have purposeful bootlegs to have that? We've been asking for that for years now.
Well,
if you know it's what your quarterback does best. I mean, J.J. McCarthy was in the shotgun. Did anybody care? They won the game.
Well, Ben Johnson did say, remember what Weider told us. Ben Johnson said, you got to come to me. You got to come to me, come to my offense, which requires a lot of the time staying in the pocket and making the quick decisions. I look at one of the drives I look at as maybe quintessential, because this is what I've been seeing in training camp and what we've all seen in some of the preseason game. And I'll even go back to last year's camp. The thing is we see great plays from Caleb Williams in these camps, but a lot of times we don't see successive good plays or just a good drive where there's three or four really good plays. Late third quarter, this is after the Nashon Wright pick six. It's 17-6 Bears. Caleb has that 22-yard pass to DJ Moore on play action. Then the next play is that 3-yard loss to Luther Burden. So right after that, you lose yardage. Then Caleb gets the ball deflected. All of a sudden, you have a 3rd and 13, and you get a little bit of it back to Colston Loveland, and the play is over, and it's a dud. So you get the one good play, but where's the rest of it?
I think when you're looking at the way that Caleb Williams has developed so far, look, it's one season and one game. But the only thing he's been consistent at is his inconsistency so far. It's right there in front of you. The tape does not lie.
Well, and also, I think this is a good point from 773. I don't necessarily know if it's scared on the text line, but they say he's too scared to climb the pocket. We didn't see climbing the pocket.
No.
The last time we saw that out of a Bears quarterback was, I believe, Case Keenum in the preseason. So that's not even something that I think we've seen yet. I don't know when you get there. I think we all have to keep in mind, when Ben Johnson said, strip it down to the studs, I think that is partially why you saw so many false start penalties. Like, that was a lot of creative use of motion. That was a lot of what I was watching in the first half of the ball game on the plays that worked. How are you using your motion, your half motion? We saw a little bit of that. I know I talked to you about it, Mark, on the Take the North podcast that we taped at 12 o'clock.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, midnight this morning, whichever you want to call it. But saying that, we saw a lot more, I think, schematically sound process. Like, we did see, and it's going to take some getting used to because of all that motion. The Bears didn't do it last year. Like, period, paragraph, they did not do that much pre-snap motion. You saw guys run half motion toward the center, toward the quarterback, run back out. That got you to look at what the Vikings defense was doing. You knew that they were going to make adjustments, and adjustments they made defensively. That was a big part of it for me, was just seeing how the adjustments were made and then what they weren't doing. And I think what we weren't doing was picking up those blitzes and those extra men. Like, that's slide protection, as we understand, is on QB. So how was that going when you saw somebody creep up through the gaps there in that second, really the second half?
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench, and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we don't know, like, the cadence issues could have been there too, like the false starts. I mean, of course, it's easy to blame Darnell Wright for false starts or whomever else committed them. But that could also be part of the full package of the quarterback and all the things that Layla is talking about, and that stuff that we'll get more texture on as the week goes on. And, texture said the defense allowed 21 points in the fourth quarter. The defense and the offense fell asleep. That's fair. Well, and look, both started hot. And I give the defense, again, a lot of credit. And you can pick the pieces up. As bad as this loss was, there are encouraging things. I like the way, even though Dayo Odangbo had a couple of bad penalties himself, the roughing penalty, it probably was legitimate, but it was close. I like the way Dayo Odangbo played. In terms of pressure, he got a sack, so we got to see a little bit of that, which was nice.
We're talking about Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, game one for them in their newly found marriage. They are newlyweds, let's be clear, here on Raheemian Harris with Mark Grody. And the thing that I want to make sure we're all on the same page on is I think the number one issue right now is the lack of consistent accuracy. And when I say accuracy, I don't just mean balls completed to receivers. I mean the ball placement that also allows for the yards after the catch with him. So can we take a listen to Caleb Williams when he was asked about the amount of inaccurate passes that kind of piled up as he threw for 44% after the initial 10-for-10 start?
Caleb, it seems that towards the end of the game, a few of your passes started to get away from you. Can you pinpoint the reason for that happening?
No, I think that just happens sometimes in games and in moments. Just got to reel it back in and go out there and execute. I think we did that on that last drive, our second to last drive that we had. Being able to reel it back in and go out there and complete the ball.
Again, you got to be able to just hit the very basic. The one you brought up, the DeAndre Swift, where it's just like, he's right there, just throw it to him. It's a lateral throw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a no. It was a big no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to make excuses for is there some reason you could? No, he just missed it.
And you heard his answer there. He's just like, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah. So,
well, you know what? It can't happen at that volume.
Yeah.
You can have a bad throw every once in a while, but you can't have two and three and four bad throws.
Back-to-backs, essentially.
Well,
right?
I think what we saw was they probably coached mental process for the first scripted drives and the first scripted plays. Like, you could see that. There was a different decision-making process that was going on. But then that wasn't the case in, I would say, halfway through the second quarter and then for the rest of the game. You didn't see that. There was a good point that I think Troy Aikman made when it came to the read progressions that we saw. He talked about it during the game, but the read progressions that we saw out of Caleb Williams, even where he missed that long pass to DJ Moore, they end up scoring. That was the second touchdown drive, but I want to get into that as well.
Marshall.
Wait, do we have that sound from Troy Aikman?
Yeah, we have it.
Oh.
Here's another look at that play. You got Zacchaeus coming here, and then DJ Moore comes off the ball. And you see right on how much room there is. He was just late getting to it. And I think when he was late, then the ball sails on him instead of him making an accurate throw. But, boy, that should have been an easy one. And then you've got a touchdown and still over 2 minutes left to play.
So I point that out because even though they did the right thing, they end up scoring on that drive. That was what we're talking about here. We're talking about how old habits are going to die hard. And when you see that in the game, where are you reading? What are you trying to do? I think unlearning some bad habits that he picked up last year is going to take more time than we realize.
And I think why that's so frustrating, Layla, Mark, is because it's like akin to a Major League Baseball player. When you see the busted coverage like that, when you throw a hanging breaking ball, what do you expect a Major League Baseball player to do with it?
Ball over the wall.
He's supposed to punish the pitch. Same situation last night for Caleb on a couple of different situations. And in some, he checked down. And in others, he just missed. And you can't have multiple chances because you're only going to get so many chances in an NFL game against a decent to good team.
Well, and the Vikings were down. They didn't have Jordan Addison. J.J. McCarthy's making his debut in a regular season game. They offensively, you had opportunities to take advantage like you did in those first drives that we talked about. That was a part of this. Grody, you were going to get to a thought.
Oh, yeah. Marshall, I don't know if this was something that you had because you said you were going to read us something that we don't want to hear. Have you delivered that yet?
No.
Okay, because I don't. I want to make sure we don't have the same thing here.
No, it's not.
Okay, this is from our friend Judson Richards. He texted me this last night. I'm just seeing it. The Bears blow an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter in Ben Johnson's debut. That's the largest by a head coach in his NFL debut since Matt Nagy in 2018 at the Packers. That was a 17-point lead. How you like me now, Layla?
Those two games felt different. One of them, I was at Dick Has Eating Nachos.
Yes.
I was not at Dick Has Eating Nachos last night.
Not the pot roast nachos from Ditka's, though.
No, I had the chicken.
Okay.
RIP to the restaurant that was pretty good and had amazing nachos.
It was Kick-Ass Red is what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. So let's get Marshall's. Let's get Marshall's reading the thing that we don't want to hear.
Well, it's not even reading. It's just a thought.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.